nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Amen. I want to start by appreciating every one of us that are here that have made it to this meeting, this camp. Say God bless you. Thank you for your hunger to leave your house and come to this place. I know there must be a drive. And even those of us that are not expectant, God will go beyond the expectation in Jesus' name. I want to thank the leadership of the house. I want to thank you for this privilege and this honor. Thank you so much. And you guys are doing a great work here. This is a massive work. You know, the things we do sometimes, you know, it looks so simple. It looks so simple, but they carry an eternal weight of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul said our light affliction carries eternal weight of glory. And this is the work that we should build men into God. You know, that we should draw men to come and look after and run after God. So I want to thank you. I really appreciate you for this invitation. We've been together for some time and I've seen the progress, and I was so excited when I stepped, you know, into the camp. I could feel the atmosphere, you know, atmosphere and everything. I say thank you once again and keep it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we are still at the beginning stages, so keep it up. More things will come and more opportunities to impact lives and be a blessing to souls who come in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want to touch something as briefly as I can. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Paul prayed a very profound prayer. A very weighty prayer. Are we there? Let me read from 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Amen. You see, when God wanted to announce the authority of Moses to Israel, you know, God demonstrated power. God demonstrated power. He threw the serpent on the floor. He took it back, and then God moved in power. When God wanted to demonstrate the authority of Joshua to Israel, that was when they got to the Jordan and he parted Jordan. So they say all Israel feared Joshua the same way they feared and they hallowed Moses. Then on and on, you kept going. When God wanted to demonstrate the authority of King Saul, he just anointed him as king. Israel had never had a king. That was when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, they had one of these Nahash, or one of these kings, came to trouble them. And then, of course, Saul has already been anointed, and then he moved. God was with him in the battlefield. You know, there was a raw demonstration of power. Then, on and on, you come to the time of David. God wanted to announce David to Israel as well. That was the story of Goliath. We're all familiar with these stories. But when he came to Solomon, that's where I'm coming. You know, when he came to Solomon, it was different. Praise the Lord. When he came to Solomon, what happened in the case of Solomon? I know you can still remember. Praise the Lord. You know, it was not a move of power, but it was a move of power in another dimension. It was the flow of the spirit of wisdom. Praise the Lord. What God gave Solomon was wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. Amen. So that was when you remember that story. That 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 27. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Now, listen. Now, when God was announcing the authority of Solomon, he used wisdom. Don't forget that the Bible, all of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. It's a foretelling of what God will do in our days and in the end times. I say, David, God demonstrated power, but Solomon, wisdom. Wisdom. Amen. And if you read on and on, coming down, we'll explain in the course of our talk, you are going to discover that what is the prevailing spirit of the end time? What is the spirit that we finish the work of God in the end time? Jesus said, all power has been given to me. There are so many powers in God. There was a power that Moses demonstrated. There was a power that Elijah demonstrated. But there was another power that Solomon walked in. And the impact were not the same thing. David had all of Israel in subjection. Israel. Amen. The impact were different. I mentioned Moses. I mentioned who again? Joshua. I mentioned David. King Saul, David, then, and before I mentioned Solomon. Now, the impacts were different. Under the realm of David, God gave David victory, gave it conquer, he won. Israel was under subjection. But when it comes to the Solomon, what God gave Solomon did not just conquer Israel, he conquered the whole world. Praise the Lord. He conquered the whole world. He brought the whole world. He brought nations. You know, he brought nations, kings, and people. He brought them under subjection. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. David won a lot of victory. You win and you have to fight again. But in the reign of Solomon, the reign of wisdom, men from all over the world, they willingly came to seek the Lord. They willingly came to serve God. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. First King, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding. So I'm talking on this. What I want to talk about is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding and lightness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon wisdom excelled the wisdom of all men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. Ethan the Ezraite, Heman, Karkor, Dada, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Then verse 34. And men of all nations, can you see all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had had his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Then if you go to chapter 3, I quoted something, I want to read it. Verse 28. He said, all Israel had, this is now Israel, I read about the nation. All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king. The same impact that the anointing or the hand upon Moses had, or even the hand on David, the same impact that God had in Solomon was different. You see, there were three times in scriptures like that things like that happened. Another one was the time of Joseph. Without the strength of the sword, even in the days of Joseph, God moved in another dimension that brought Pharaoh and all the nations of the earth under subjection to God's counsel. And what happened in the time of Joseph? What was the gift that God gave Joseph? Praise the Lord. It was the revelational gift that Joseph had. Then on that time, the impact that Joseph had was global. Then another man again is another one, Daniel. Daniel is a strange book in the Bible. It's a wise book. It's a book of wisdom. 15 times, the book of Daniel has 12 chapters. But 15 times in the book of Daniel, they made references to wise men. Wise men. Please follow me. We'll build into the New Testament. 15 times in the book of Daniel, references were made to wise men. And the first one was Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Or 22, we're talking about all the wise men of Babylon when they failed, and then God raised another wise man called Daniel. 15 times references were made to wise men in the book of Daniel, and then the last, I won't read all of it. Then let me read the last one, Daniel chapter 2. I'll read that one, then I'll jump to chapter 12. So I'll read chapter 12. Let me just go to chapter 12, verse 3. I'll read verse 3 and verse 10. He said, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Then verse 10, he said, many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And he said, those that are wise shall shine like the star. When all the wise men of Babylon failed. Then if you read what God said about Solomon, and even the time of, he said the wise men of the East. You know, wisdom has always ruled this world. Praise the Lord. Wisdom has always ruled this world. He said the wise men of the East and all the wise men of Egypt. If you go back to the story of Pharaoh, all the magicians of Pharaoh, all of them failed. Then God raised Joseph, you know, and Joseph was able to pierce the oracles of God and brought solution to men. Then the same thing happened in the days of Solomon, you know. And that's why all the whole, look at something they said in verse 10. Let me just read 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard question. Then jump to verse 23. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. He said, and all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his heart. Now, I give us some other two examples. When God told Solomon, gave instruction to Moses about the temple, he wanted to build a temple in the earth, and God now made reference to Bezalel, that God has filled him with the Spirit of God. Let me open to the Exodus chapter 33 verse 1, then Exodus 35 verse 31. Exodus 33, he said, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 1, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I appealed him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Then if you go to verse 35, you see the same thing again. Then in the days of Solomon, when they wanted to build a temple, these were the men that built the temple. Praise the Lord. God gave Moses the instruction, the pattern, but he said, I have called Bezalel, and I appealed him with the Spirit of God. The same way that David had the Holy Ghost in him. Or maybe the Spirit of God was upon Elijah. You know, he did something, brought some prophetic counsel to Israel. But when God wanted to build a temple, he filled this man with the Spirit of God. But he said it was in what? In wisdom. And then in understanding to build a temple. Praise the Lord. Then in the days of Solomon, when God gave Solomon, I will not open it. It was the same thing. He said, Hiram, the son of Tyre. He said, I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. To what? To build the temple. So anytime it comes about building the temple, God begins to release the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding to build the temple, to build the tabernacle of God on earth. And he also talk about his workmanship. You see, this was a prototype for what God was going to do in the New Testament. David in the Old Testament, if you look at the time of David and the time of Solomon. Solomon, he was a prophetic image of the church in our days. Solomon was a prophetic image of Christ, David. David was a prophetic image of Christ. David obtained the covenant. Obtained the covenant and even the pattern for the temple, but it was Solomon that built the temple. Praise the Lord. And then the equipping that God gave Solomon to build the temple was the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. You can now refer to it when Paul was praying that the God of your father will give you the Spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. And if you now wrote the letter he wrote to Colossians, you know that I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and then spiritual understanding. My friend, that's why we're making we stumble so many times on this path, you know, even trying to do so many things to God. If we don't understand the spirit that God is releasing for the end time, if we don't understand the dominant spirit of the end of the age, the spirit that will govern, and then the spirit that will rule. Amen. A lot of us are expecting power, you know, powers of old and all of those things, good and beautiful. But you must understand the way God wants to move in the times. There's a temple to be built today. The Bible said in Ephesians that all of us as one holy temple. Ephesians 2 from 19 to 22. It said we are being built together as a holy temple into the Lord. As a temple that will be habitated by God. We are a growing temple in God. And what is going to build that temple? Amen. Praise the Lord. What is going to build that temple of the end time? Then it talks about, I feel people like Bezalel, that's the first temple during the time of Moses, and the temple of Solomon. He said, Solomon was Hiram, the son of Tyre. He said, he's filled with the Spirit of God, but that infilling is going to come in the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. He said, I filled him with the Holy Ghost. So when we see the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you want to see the Elijah type of movement. Praise the Lord. And that was why when God raised up people like John the Baptist, one man, another man that brought Israel to his knee, brought the whole nation to their knee, looking and seeking God, even in repentance, say, what must we do to be saved? Soldiers, all manner of people. There was no miracle done in the life of John the Baptist. But there was another movement of power in his life that brought all Israel to their knee. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need everything in God. We need a Moses dimension. We need an Elijah dimension. We need all of them. Elijah and his seven miracles, purported seven miracles, and Elisha and his purported 14 miracles. We need everything, but more than that. You know, that's why the Bible talks about all power. God is not limited, his power is not limited, and the movement of God is not limited, and the way God wants to walk, and as God has designed to orchestrate his path on the earth. He said he has you basically in all kinds of workmanship, and then Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship. Why is workmanship? You know, that God has ordained and called us to do so many things. So there is a wisdom for the end time. And there is a wisdom for this age. That's why if you look at Paul began opening these things up. He began talking about, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He said the hidden wisdom that God ordained. There was a wisdom in God that was hidden. And then God ordained it for the end times. Men walked with God, but they did not open that wisdom. You know, so many times we don't understand what is happening. My brother told me on the mountain today, and he said all kinds of prayers that go on the mountain there. It will exert so much strength and so much energy, but little is being built. Don't we ask ourselves why? So many exertions, so many strength, so many, but why little is being built? There's a fault line somewhere. Look at all kinds of prayer on the mountain. People come and every kind of things. Prayer that does not get to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. You see, there was a hidden wisdom. What is that wisdom? There was a wisdom hidden in God, but God ordained it for our glory. God ordained it for the end of the times, for the end of the age. Amen. That's the wisdom that will build the temple of the end times. Praise the Lord. You know, we've been seeing temple that those things are a shadow of things to come. If you go to read the book of Revelation, it says the temple in heaven was open. The temple in heaven, there was a temple of Moses, the tabernacle of David, the temple of Solomon. And even in our days, God is building a temple. He said, but that temple now is we. He said, you and I are those temples. We, you and I are the materials for those temples. We are being built for an habitation of God in His Spirit. We are being built into together as one single temple for God. And that is the wisdom. He said, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world for our glory. I has not seen. And then he went on and on. Two floor of power. Now, look at what Jesus accomplished. I said David was a prototype of Christ. I said he obtained the covenant. He obtained the covenant, but Solomon was the one that opened the package of the covenant. Just like Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. But we are the one that opened the content of that redemption. Praise the Lord. Jesus obtained Hebrews 9:12. He said, having obtained eternal redemption for us when he went to the Father. So he obtained redemption. But we are the one that opens that redemption. Jesus, all that Jesus did, all that he obtained, we are the ones that walk in it. Amen. So, Solomon, David obtained the covenant, but Solomon is the one that built the temple. Solomon is the one that opened the package of the covenant. David, God stopped David from building the temple. Why? Because David had shed so much blood. And then you can see the life of Jesus. Jesus was called to shed his blood. So Jesus shed his blood. It was not to build the temple. We are the one that will build the temple. And that's why the gospel is committed to us. He said God has committed to us the gospel of this reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. So we are the one that will do the assignment. Jesus was a God man, you know. But we are the one that has the responsibility to do this thing. So David made abundant preparation and everything, but Solomon built the temple. We are the ones that will build the temple and build the end, fulfill what God has said that we are going to accomplish in the end time, and build that temple working together with the Holy Spirit. So now, if you now begin to think, that's why if you look at when Jesus came, you know, it was a fulfillment of everything I was saying in the Old Testament, even the reign of Solomon. And I told that Solomon was a prototype of the show. Let me explain it well. Let me explain it to her. You know, Solomon was a prototype of the church. That's why he built a temple, he was doing well. And then if you look at the church in Laodicea, like what happened to Solomon? Solomon was led astray by seducing spirit. And if you look at when God talked about his church and warning the church in Laodicea, the last day church, you talk about you think you are rich. I know that church fell to seducing spirit, but God in his mercy recovered the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. In his mercy recovered the church. So that's why I say Solomon is a prototype. You know, and in his days, peace reigned on earth. All nations came to seek God. All kings and everybody were looking for God. And that is what will bring men under subjection in the last day. When Jesus came, Jesus did not confront Satan with power. Hope you are aware of that. Jesus came in the strength of superior wisdom. He didn't confront him with power. Jesus confronted Satan with the weakness of man. God used the weakness of man to defeat the strength of Satan. That's if you read 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, he said he was crucified in what? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4. He said, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. Jesus did not confront Satan with power. You know, yes, but he confronted with another power. He didn't confront him with raw power. You know, the kind of power that some of us are expecting to come and then, you know, men will look at it, but, you know, it may not draw men to God. Okay, they will look at it. Even Jesus, he moved in the demonstration. There was the kind of power that Jesus demonstrated in his earthly ministry. Israel did not turn to God in his days. But when the Holy Ghost came, you know, when it came during the times of apostles, then God began moving in another dimension. Then men began coming to him. Now, what I'm saying in that scripture I read, that Jesus did not confront Satan with power. He confronted Satan in a higher, in a superior wisdom. What we call the hidden wisdom. You know, the weakness of man, Jesus yielded to the strength of Satan. And in yielding to the strength of Satan, he destroyed the strength of Satan. He yielded to death. That's the ultimate power of Satan. Jesus yielded to death, and in yielding to death, he destroyed the power of the evil one. The Bible says, those that are all their lifetime subject to bondage through the fear of death. And that's why Jesus defeated death and defeated the grave. By, you know, he came on the strength of another wisdom. So what am I saying? You know, so in our as we walk with God day, you know, by day, as we begin to seek God, the ultimate priority that God will have us do, you know, now. And all of those things, you know, were maybe setting our hearts onto the ultimate thing. One of the ultimate things that God will have us do now is what? Is to walk in what? In his wisdom and understanding. And that wisdom is not the wisdom of maybe to discern the wisdom of the natural or something. This wisdom is to open up who God is in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say the wisdom, you know, that's why I say we fill with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He generates so much power on earth. That's why I say Solomon without miracle, without the sword, he brought a nation. There was a power that came to the earth. There was a flow of power that came to the earth, that came the earth. And in the days of Joseph, the same thing happened. Then the time of Daniel too, you know, when Daniel interpreted that revelation to Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar fell from his seat. All of us know who Nebuchadnezzar is. He was the supreme ruler of the earth. You know, his wrath and everything is danger. He said Nebuchadnezzar fell and he worshipped Daniel and he asked that he should do oblation to Daniel. But what did God give Daniel? God gave him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That was the golden key that God gave Daniel. The same thing you see in the life of Joseph. Then what does it tell us? And the same thing Solomon had. And the reign of Solomon, I told you, was different from the reign of David. So David ruled over Israel, but Solomon had the whole earth under subjection to God. He said the kings, all of them came because of the fame of the Lord that was named, because of his fame, you know, about the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So part of the things that God will do and, you know, and is calling us into, amen, you must have, he said, the spirit of wisdom, you know, the Holy Ghost that comes upon you in wisdom, in revelation and understanding, not just to know things, not just the word of wisdom, or not just the word of knowledge, you know, this and this and this, is beyond that. The ultimate thing about that wisdom, like you see in the book of Daniel, Daniel opened up Christ. Daniel opened up what God was going to do in the end time. So the spirit of that wisdom is to open up who God is in the spirit. You cannot minister a God that you don't know. You see, and when you begin to draw near to him, when you begin to unveil God, it takes wisdom. God is the wise one. Three times in scripture, they refer to God as the only wise God. I will open that scripture for those of you that are writing. That's Romans 16:27, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, and then Jude 25. He said, to the only wise God. It takes the spirit of God to open up who God is. Even his work for the end time. That's why so many things that God is doing in these times, we don't understand them. That's the truth. If we ask you, what is God doing? You know, even the work of the end time, what is God doing on the end time? We know we're just doing our own things, doing here and there. What is God doing? So he takes the spirit of wisdom. He said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his way in all wisdom and then spiritual understanding. Sometimes once you're on the right track, somehow Satan will just come and confuse us that nothing is going well in your life. Your life is not doing well. A lot of things, a lot of confusion in the land, you know. But you may be filled with the spirit of wisdom, with the knowledge of his way, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So one of the spirits that God is going to release in the end time, the flow of power, is that spirit of wisdom. And that wisdom, I say, is to open up who God is in the spirit. Not just to know about him. You see, when you see God, you become like him. That's why his workmanship, the temple that God is building, and God is building us into a temple, into an habitation to him. He's building men to become like him. That work is a very high work. It's not a small work. It's not a small work. It's easy to do things. It's easy to mobilize men about a project. But what is happening in the end time, God is building men into himself. He's building men into his divine nature. He's building men into Christ-likeness. It's not a small work. It requires a lot of wisdom. And that's why when Jesus was going, he said he's going to send three categories of people. I think he was quoting a prophecy from the Old Testament. Matthew 23 verse 23:34. Can we read it together? He said he's going to send who? He's going to send prophets. He's going to send who? He's going to send wise men. And he's going to send who? Scribes, teachers, wise men. Those wise men, we can also refer to them as apostles. Paul says as a wise master builder. Now, what is being built is not an easy task. So that temple, you see the temple of Solomon, all of those temples, the present temple is that, you see, God is building life into his life, you know, to become a representative of God on earth, to carry the kind of life that God himself lived, to do the kind of things that God does, to look like him. You know, if you look at them, they look like God. It's just like identical twins. And these are the kind of people that God is raising now. And he says it's going to take wisdom. It's easy to preach and go. It's easy to have the power of God move in a meeting. You know, but the power that will conquer pride, the power that will conquer fear in the heart, and the power that will handle loss is another dimension of power. Oh, it's not the one that made the withered leg to grow. Amen. That which can handle, you know. So those that can deal with the properties that are inside of a man is another kind of power. Even Jesus did not dethrone Satan by miracles. Hope you are aware of that. It was another work in the spirit. It was a wise work. He said the prince is a wisdom that the princes of this world, none of them knew about it. It was a work in the spirit that Jesus walked and dethroned Satan. Dethroned Satan, dethroned sin, you know, and then dethroned the flesh. And then what? Enthroned the spirit. And then brought forth a new creation. So you can see it's not a mere power. You are thinking maybe when the power of God come upon you now, all the madmen in this city. You know, it's a beautiful part of the gospel. But it requires something deeper than that. Something that can work in the soul of men. It has, you know, don't forget that in the days of Solomon, the queen of Sheba, all the kings, they willingly came. They willingly came seeking God. And then in the days of the Messiah, Jesus, he said, all men seek you. He said, men are willingly coming after Christ because of it's another work in the soul. It's another power that begins to work inside the soul of a man. Praise the Lord. So when you God calls you to lead men, now as young ministers, as young leaders, are going to lead people. It's not going to be a small work. The work of leading people and building. Don't forget you are building men. That means, for instance, now you are a meeting or you have a group, you know, and you have families, people that are married there, they have families. You are building in that place, you are building the people and also building marriages. That people look at their marriage, it's a prototype of the marriage that is in heaven. That is the work we are called to do. That is the building that is going on. So that, for instance, let's say this is a group that will meet for maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, will be meeting for the past 5, 6, 7 years. And people are getting married. I know, when you look at the families, you know, then except nothing has been happening for the past 7 years. How can you be in church? How can you be with all of these resources that have been given? You are married for like 7 years, 5 years, 6 years, and that marriage is not a prototype of heaven. Then we have not been building at all. I said the building now is building men. It's building men into God and building God into men. It requires another kind of strength. Amen. That's why I say when God was announcing the authority of those men, he used sheer raw power. But when he was announcing the authority of Solomon, God used another thing, wisdom, another power. And that power not only conquered Israel, he went around the nations of the earth. That dimension of power, that dimension of move, that move was not seen after the deeds of Solomon. The next time we saw it in scripture was the time of Christ. And then the time of the saints. People like Paul, you know, when nations began turning to God and seeking God. So what we are doing and what God is doing in us, God is building men. He said we are being built by his workmanship. He filled Bezalel with wisdom to work all manner of work, all kinds of workmanship. And the Bible says, why is workmanship? So the wisdom and the skill that is coming now is to build men, is to build lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Having been working with God for some time, you see, you now begin to there are things you begin to look at, things you begin to measure. I cannot be following God for the past 5 years. You know, and the strength of anger in us is not abating. Then there's something, nothing is being built. The strength of anger is not falling, you know. After working with God for 10, 15 years, loss is not being handled. You know, this is the wisdom, this is the spirit, and this is the wisdom that has come. It has come to deal with the things that are inside. It's not all those miracles that Jesus was doing. I told that he dethroned Satan. It was another work in the spirit. It's another high level, or that wisdom is higher. Praise the Lord. It's higher. That which we dethrone lost out of the hearts of men. That which we conquer pride. He said the corruption that is in the world through lust. Three things he mentioned: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It required another strength, you know, and that's why he said we'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The knowledge of God is becoming like God. He's being changed and being transformed to be like him. Amen. So it's not just speaking about God. You have a new revelation about holiness. You have a new revelation about prayer. You are rushing to come and give it. No. It's that you, your flesh, your bones and your flesh and your spirit and your nature, everything has been tampered and changed. Praise the Lord. So that when you now begin to speak, your word will carry redemptive power, the ability to change men. To change men. This is the power that is here. And this is the power that is being released on the earth. That God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom, that you might be filled with knowledge, you know, in the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I say to raise men is not an easy task. You see all kinds of things. It requires strength. The volume of patience that he has, some of us as ministers, we don't have it. Yes, you can be a Jew and you don't have it. The strength, what it requires, strength, ability to take in so much. Jesus watched Judas stealing for 3 years, he did not talk, because he cannot be distracted from his assignment. Praise the Lord. He watched him stealing for 3 years. It requires strength. Strength. You know, that you might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. It does not just happen by prayer. It's not accidental. It's a work in the spirit. And that is a work of wisdom. You know, God will begin to lead you. You don't know just why he's leading you. Maybe, for instance, a young man just finished school. I think it was in Reconciliation House in Akure several years ago. I had one brother give that a beautiful testimony. I think the brother said he went to Aquinas. This thing I'm talking about should be like 7 years ago. He said that he went to Aquinas and somehow the Holy Ghost impressed in his heart to go to Aquinas and teach for 1 year and not collect anything or something. Praise the Lord. It was one meeting in the Reconciliation House, you know. So I was there, so he was giving that example like that. So, you know, what am I saying? You may just finish graduating after finishing your NYC. So all of a sudden, I want to show you practically how that wisdom operates. How that wisdom. You can just finish now after your NYC everything. So go and take up a teaching appointment in this school. Go and serve them for 1 year. Can I even say 2 years? 2 years. You know? No, an ability to obey that word, you know, and to yield, you know, to that word. That is that wisdom that we're talking about. And so many times when the wisdom of God come, we don't recognize it. That's why Jesus stood in the midst of Israel. They said he came to his own and his own did not recognize him. This was the wisdom, that the hidden wisdom that would bring the redemption of the world. After the thing that was bungled in the Garden of Eden, God chose one people, one nation, one tribe, the Jew, that is going to pass the Messiah through them. What a high honor and a high privilege. Then the Messiah actually came through them, and the Messiah stood in their midst, which is the highest wisdom that can be available. He stood in their midst, and he was their own, but they never recognized it. You know, this is an oppression. It's an oppression. So that's why when God began leading men, you know, when God began moving amongst men, they don't know it. See, he came to his own did not recognize him. That's why they killed all their prophets. And the same thing, that same spirit that operated in those times, that same spirit, that's why they call it the Antichrist. That same spirit is still working in our days. Anytime God raises his own, they just cuddle it. Raises his own, they just cuddle him. It's an operation of wisdom, and it's a high level of work. Praise the Lord. So I say, God, my finishing wise, God says, okay, go and serve with social ministry, or go and serve with social place. Go and do so. God just give you one certain instruction. That's the unveiling of his wisdom. But you may not see it. As you follow it through, other things will now break forth. Amen. It's a walk in the spirit, you know, that can handle Satan. Yes. That can handle Satan. And then all the things that was listed that I mentioned, I said Jesus did not dethrone Satan with his miracle. He dethroned Satan by a high level work in the spirit. The Bible says, though he was the Son of God, he became a man. He subjected himself, becoming a man, then even dying on the cross and subjecting himself to the death on the cross. And when he died on the cross and shed the blood, he dethroned Satan. You see that level of operation or a move of wisdom. So that is the spirit that God is pervading this end time. God is moving among the nations. God will subject it. He said the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. But what is going to happen is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Is the shadow of it we saw in the lives of Solomon. All those wisdom you have seen. All those revelations that Joseph had that brought the whole world under subjection. Pharaoh said that only in the throne will I be greater than you. According to your word, will Egypt be ruled. He said he will bound his princes and teach his senators wisdom. You see, all of those things coming on and on and on and on to this time. And then the fullness of it was what we saw in Christ. The Bible says Jesus is made unto us wisdom. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So in a nutshell, in a summary, this is what I have said. The wisdom for this end time is the wisdom that will take my brother and make him exactly the prototype of Christ. And he's going to take a walk in the spirit. So when you come to minister, your ministration is not what you are saying. Your ministration is who you are in the spirit. Your ministration is who you are. Who you are, your person in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So it's not a sermon. It's not a concordance and all of those things. We need everything we can lay our hands in God. But I'm talking to us, the ultimate, who you are in the spirit. So that's why he said, we ourselves have been built into God's habitation in the spirit. We have been built into a dwelling place for God. And the unveiling we are talking about, that wisdom to open up who God is. That is spirit, wisdom of the end time. That is spirit. The Holy Ghost has invaded the earth. But he has invaded the earth, you know, and ultimately, you know, that's why I say, in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, that's why I say you shall know the truth and with the truth to set you free. How do you get to know the truth? The Holy Ghost, he will say he will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. He will open up who God is to us in the spirit. And then when we see him, we'll become like him. Even the final going to heaven, how did he say? He said, behold, what manner of Lord the Father has for us, that now we should be called the sons of God. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we'll become like him. What qualifies you to go to heaven? To qualify you to go to heaven is because you are carrying the same nature that God is. You are who God himself is in the spirit. He said, when we see him on earth, we become like him. Then we can be taken. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You must withstand as him. That's why I say he has become the righteous. We have become sin that we become the righteousness of God. So we become who God is in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So that is the mantle that we must carry in these end times. That is the mantle we must carry in this day, and that is the mantle we will cast upon men and upon people. There is a temple that is being built on earth today. And that temple is that men are being built. So what we do in the church is that we are building lives. We are building men. Somebody's come to our midst after 7 years. When you return after 3 years, we are not the same people that he left. He said the volume of love amongst us. He said the volume of patience. He said the purity of what is coming out of our lips. After 3 years you come to that same set of people. It's not the same thing. He said, we are being built as a habitation of God in spirit. He said, building up yourself on your most holy faith. You are being built into what? To carry the same thing that God carried. To become who God is in the spirit. Amen. And that thing is going to come on the strength of a superior wisdom. And then your personal life as well. A lot of people don't attain to destiny. A lot of lives don't get to where God wants them to get to. Because they spend all their life resisting the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers. They spend their entire life resisting the Holy Ghost. Because the way he will take you, the Holy Ghost is a movement. And that's why when they review this, Bible says the Holy Ghost move in Genesis 1. The Holy Ghost is a movement. When the Holy Ghost come upon your life, he starts moving you. He starts bestirring you. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit, you know. It's a movement. So he starts stirring and starts moving you. But most time we start resisting him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at this scripture once again. Daniel. I say Daniel is a book of wisdom. I told about 15 references to wise men. To wise men. So what is going to play out in the end time is the spirit of wisdom. It's the spirit of wisdom. Ancient civilization was built by wise men. Don't forget, it's the wise men of Egypt. And wisdom is power. Okay, say that Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. He say, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Paul say, as a wise master builder, as a wise master, he said, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And then verse 10. Look at verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked, you see, understanding will be shut down in the end time. Part of what will happen in these days, understanding will be shut down. So even some people that are born again, that are saved, that are walking with the Holy Ghost, even understanding will be shut down. And then he went further to say that the wise, he said, but the wise shall understand. Praise the Lord. I want us to stand up. I want us to pray. I don't know what you have heard. I want us to pray. Bible says wisdom has built her house, has built her house, has hewn out her seven pillars. Proverbs 1:9. The seven pillars of wisdom are the seven spirits of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11, it says wisdom has built her house. The temple of God will be built by the wisdom. Wise men. He said, I will send you wise men. Paul said, as a wise master builder. And what you are called to build. If it's to build a temple, it's easy. If it's to build a house, it's easy. We are called to build men into God and build God into men. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to pray? Jesus. Can you begin to talk to the Lord? Proverbs, I'll be reading some scripture while you pray. He said, by wisdom, he said, by me, kings reign. Proverbs 8:15. He said, by me, kings reign. Proverbs 8, he said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. He said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. He said, by me, kings reign and rulers make decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles are not the judgment of the earth. And I said, what is that wisdom? What is that wisdom? Christ is made unto us wisdom. He said, Christ in us, the hope of glory, is to bring us unto the image, unto our predestinated image, the image of his son. That is the ministry, that you become a son on earth. That you become a son on earth. Paul said that God who separated me, Galatians chapter 1, from my mother's womb, that he may reveal his son in me, and that I may preach him among the Gentiles. Then Colossians 1, we say Christ in all the hope of glory is the wisdom to build. This one, the temple is an inner temple. It's not a temple that, yes, people can see the fruit of it, but the temple is being built inside. Inside, there is a growing temple, the temple that is being built within. So the wisdom to build that temple, the understanding, it requires another kind of wisdom. And that wisdom is the one they call the hidden wisdom. God hid it from before the foundation of the earth. He said the wisdom that has been hidden in God. And that wisdom is Christ, the life of the Son. Now may be transformed and conformed to the image of his Son. Even the image of his Son, Jesus, becoming like him, becoming who Jesus is. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to call upon his name? Can you begin to bless him? Now, I want to ask you a question. If these things we are hearing is true, how should a Christian home look like? Two people that believe, that are born again and are saved, and they come together in marriage. They'll be married 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and they are growing in this thing. And they are becoming more and more like God. Becoming, having a kind of strength, having a kind of law, his love, having his patience, having his meekness, having his gentleness. How is that home going to be like? It will be a prototype of heaven on earth. These things are not story. These things are not story. Thank you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is what the Holy Ghost is building on the earth. He's building men. That once you've seen them, you have seen the man Christ. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That John 10:30. Then John 14:6. What did he say? He said, Philip, have I been so long with you? And you are still saying, show us the Father. Haven't you know that if you the Father is in me and I'm in the Father? That if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How come you not say, show us the Father? I want to tell us what God is building on earth. What is being built today is building lives, is building souls, temple. They say, we are his workmanship. It was a physical temple. That physical temple we saw in the old covenant is a prototype of that temple you saw is you and it's me. That temple of Solomon. After they finished building that temple, the Bible said the Holy Ghost came and the glory of God descended on that temple. When Jesus has raised those men and purified them, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The infilling, when they finished building the temple in the Old Testament, the glory of God descended on that temple. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 2. After Jesus had ascended to his Father and all things were finished, the Holy Ghost came, the glory of the Father, and now came and descended on the temple on earth. I descended on those men that were in the upper room. Descended on those same men that were in the upper room. Thank you. Our Father, we bless you. We minister God. And how do we minister God? We minister God by becoming gods on earth. Having his nature. Having him and being like him. He said, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises that by this we become partakers of the divine nature. We share the nature that God has. God has it, I have it. It's in him, it's in me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, I and the Father, we are one. This is the building that is going on earth. This is the tabernacle that is being raised today on earth. They looked at those men. They said, this man must have been with Jesus because they are like him. That's a temple that is growing on earth. In every assembly, in every congregation, in every house. This is what, this is the work. This is the work. This is the work. This is the testimony. This is the testimony. But I've told you the Spirit that will build it. The Spirit that will build it. Not the Samson had power. He had lion-like kind of power. Look at the anointing that Samson had. But that anointing cannot handle lust. Lust. Look at the anointing of Samson. And that's the anointing a lot of us are expecting. The end time. How God will finish his work in the end time. I've shown us the prototype from the Bible.
What brought the nation under subjection, under submission? Hope you know it's not a miracle that Jesus did that make you and I serving him. It's by the death on the cross. Men have come to Jesus not because he has raised Lazarus from the dead. It's not because of that I'm born again today. I'm born again because Jesus died on the cross. That is another operation of wisdom. Wisdom. When they slap you, turn the other cheek. You don't know that's an operation, that's a manifestation of wisdom. Jesus was crucified in weakness and he was raised up in power. He said, when they take your coat, give them your jacket as well. Oh, that is a flow of wisdom. That is a wisdom that will take the nations. That is a wisdom that will conquer earth and conquer the whole world. He said, do not resist evil. When evil comes, submit. Jesus never resisted death. He yielded to death. And in yielding to death, he destroyed the power of death. That's the wisdom that there's another temple that is being built. God is building homes. He's building lives. He's building destiny. He's building people. But it will come in another strength and another wisdom. Not the kind of power that Samson had. That power did not accomplish much. Solomon, there was no sword. There was no miracle. They say all Israel feared the king. Solomon, just by the demonstration of wisdom, he released power unto Israel that brought the whole nation on their knees to God. They said the wisdom of God is in him to do justice and to do justice and to do judgment. And the Bible says all Israel feared the king. First King chapter 3 verse 28. If you read 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 34, he said all people, he said all the kings, David with his anointing and his power, he will fight warfare, he will defeat the Philistine, they will come back again and gather for another battle. But in the days of Solomon, without the sword, they dropped their sword into plowshare, and all of them submitted to the counsel, to the hand of God on Solomon, and they wanted to hear his wisdom. They would travel miles and kilometers like the Queen of Sheba to, because of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And that was a prophetic declaration of the spirit of the end time, the spirit that will win. The prevailing spirit of the end time is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Oh, the spirit that had that was upon Daniel. Daniel, no miracle, no actual demonstration of power. King Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says he fell from his throne, he fell down flat, and worshipped Daniel, and commanded they should give an oblation to Daniel. That the spirit of the Holy God is in you. Those impacts were not the same thing. It was not the same as the impact of Moses. It was not the same as the impact of David and all of them. So it's a prophecy for the end times. So the prophecy. That's why Jesus said, someone that is greater than Solomon is here. He made reference to the wisdom and the strength of Solomon. He said, one higher than Solomon is here to walk in the wisdom. The fullness of what you saw in Solomon, the fullness will be seen in me. Me. That which will bring the whole world calling gods. Men, we come willingly seeking the name of the Lord. That is the one that is here. That wisdom is here. Thank you. Thank you, our Father. We bless you. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. My son Timothy, for whom I travel, until Christ be formed in you, a wise master builder. This is what we are building on earth. We are building men into God and building God into men. Men will be raised up looking like God, doing the things that God does. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Give you praise. Can you honor him? Can you hallow him? You see, one portion of the Bible, they itemize the wisdom of God. The content of that wisdom. They itemize some of them. Galatians 5:22-23. Talk about faith. Talk about love. Talk about patience. Talk about self-control. Those are the operations of wisdom. What can make a man to be patient? What can make a man to have self-control? To make a man have faith in God. Israel, with all the things that God did for them, no faith. After one, look at the part of the Red Sea. They don't have water. They couldn't have faith. It takes another operation so that faith begins growing on the inside. I don't know how well to say this. But I trust the Holy Ghost is giving us understanding. All the things that God, Moses did, the faith did not arise in Israel. Faith could not arise. Faith could not grow. Faith could not be fertilized in their hearts. But when the Holy Ghost come, I say the content of wisdom itemize. He said, love, faith. They love the cucumber and the garlics more than what they were seeing. Look at the miracle Israel saw. You and I did not see it though. All you saw me, they just preached to me. Jesus loves you. He died for me on the cross. I was convicted. I started crying and I gave my life to Christ. But Israel saw the sea parted. Joshua was fighting one day. The sun stood still for how many days? Till the following day. Israel saw manna coming from heaven. I didn't see them. But yet today, you and I did not see. Yet today, you and I were running after God. Then something is here. Power is here. But it's another flow, another dimension of power. That's what I'm saying. Power is here. So the men are running after God. He said, whom have you not seen you love? I'm believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a power that is at work. But because we can't see that power, so many times we don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate it. We cannot relate to it. There is a power on this land. Look at all the nuclear weapons that nations have and they are not fighting. You don't know that something is holding them back. Nations have nuclear weapons that can destroy a whole continent. They are not fighting. You see, men are configured to fight. The spirit of the Antichrist, he's also a spirit. He built something on earth. He's building violence. But God is the God of peace. He's building peace on earth. Men have nuclear weapon, but they cannot use this. They even came to an agreement that are not going to use this weapon. And that no nation should have it again. If you look at others, you are not seeing anything. You are not seeing anything. Maybe the rice and beans that we have not eaten in the morning. That's the only thing we see. This is the problem we have. This the power of God does not just change your circumstances. It changes you. It changes you. This wisdom. This wisdom is to change your configuration. Your spiritual and natural configuration, it changes you. Changes you to another man. The first priority of the Holy Ghost is not just to change your environment, change your circumstances. The first priority of the Holy Ghost is that he wants to change you. And he wants to change me. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to relate with the atmosphere? Certain things have been unlocked in the earth. Can you begin to relate with it? Things will be deposited in our spirit here in this meeting that will revolutionize our walk with God and our faith life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me know, pray. Talk to him. To have a very good, pleasant marriage requires a lot of patience. Patience, and that is a working of the Spirit. A massive work of the Holy Ghost. You've read 1 Corinthians 13. He said, love endures all things. The ability to endure. He said, love hopes and believes all things. So many of us confess love, but we don't really have love indeed. If you have love, the love of things you endure. He said, love believes all things. It endures. Love has the capacity to endure without weakening, without abating. It has strength. Then they love to disciple some certain kind of brethren that God will bring your way. If not, you just allow them to go. Oh, it's the most difficult work on earth. We need to have that understanding to raise men, to build men. When you have a disciple, one day you are in church, you are discipling him, he came to your house and steal everything that you have. And the Holy Ghost said, don't still give up on the brother, still follow him. I want you to still disciple this brother. Maybe it's in the next 5 years that he's going to really submit. But he said, I still want you to still be working on it. He has stolen from you 2 times. You can have a word, it might not happen like that all the time. But do we have that kind of strength? Has the Holy Ghost worked in us? He has stolen some things in your house. Maybe something, you know, and all of those things. Then there's, you know, like that, the faith. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. The faith to still continue and to see the end of that brother. Just like Judas was stealing for Jesus for 3 years. 3 years, and Jesus is continued. As he continued, you read the story of the father and the prodigal son. You don't know his strength. The father still kept his eye. That is faith. He knows that the boy is coming. He didn't just give up. That boy carried the whole of my, half of my everything, inheritance, and squandered it on harlot and all of those things. Now, what is happening to him now is now judgment. God is now judging him. But beyond that, the father rose beyond that. You know, it's a dimension. He said, he rose beyond that dimension of operation. Yes. And he said he was waiting, and the boy now finally came. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise, we give you glory. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Makanta. In Kantaliri, Mabuburi Bushiri, Makanta. In the name of Jesus, Bebakata, Malikata, Libuburi Bushiri, Makata, Lekuturi, Ntata, Libiburi, Makakari Bushiri, Makata, Lekantataliri, Buburi Bushiri, Malakana, Ingiri Bushiri, Babalari, Ntari Bushiri, Babakata. In the name of Jesus, Makaka, Malari, Nturi Bushiri, Bakata, Ikikiliri, Balari, Muturi Bushiri, Bakata, Mantata, Nturi Bushiri, Makata, Ikiri Bushiri, Babalari, Buburi Bushiri, Makata, in the name of Jesus, Mala, Ntatali, Kokuri Bushiri, Bakata, in Gagalari, Ntari Bushiri, Babalakata, Ibibirishiri, Malakata, Nturi Bushiri, Malakata. In the name of Jesus, baby, Likuru Bushri, Itata, Libu Bushri, Babakata, Igiri, Itali, Libu Bushri, Bakaka, Itali, Libu Bushri.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nation on your heart.